This is it.
This is it.
The big one.
The last one.
The end. Number 561. We always knew 561 was going to be the last one, didn't we?
There was a prophecy that foretold.
We were using a Ouija board one night late in the office, summoning the spirits of podcasting, and it answered. This is the Comixology podcast, Comixologist podcast, whatever you want to call it. It's fine.
Because it's dead now, so.
This is the final episode where we talk about the books we're reading. We try to give you recommendations. And this is indeed the final episode of the Comixologist. Lou, welcome back.
That is such an ominous welcome.
You look very relaxed, might I say, on that Tom Cruise couch.
Rather than jumping on top of it, I'm just sort of laying on it.
You know, people make fun of Tom.
In dejected fashion.
People make fun of Tom for jumping on that couch, but he was in love. You know, how would you feel if you were in love for the first time like that?
Was he in love, or was he just celebrating that they were able to successfully convince a human person to couple and eventually procreate with him?
He's a handsome man. He's more than handsome. Sexy.
Well, I'm sure that somewhere Tom is happy to know that you think that.
Yeah, I know Tom's listening. I have a, when I talked to the Ouija board, I asked the Ouija spirits to tell Tom to listen to the show. We have a song, first of all.
I cannot at the end of the show. Even believe this song.
We'll get to the letter, but Mikey P. and Ryan came together for a meeting of the minds, and I don't even know how to describe it, but just wait until the end of the show, we'll play it. It's a song. 3 minutes.
You know, now that there's a void in the comics podcast space, maybe Mikey P. and Ryan.
Whoa. They could replace us.
They could take up the sword.
Take up the podcast sword that we just laid on. Should we get into the covers of the week?
Yeah.
Covers of the week. Fave covers of the week. This segment.
Have I ever won once? No.
This segment is running up the podcast charts. It has been for years. And you've never gotten one right.
You know, no, you have never selected the correct, your favorite cover of the week.
For myself.
Yeah.
So I wrongly selected my favorite one.
Yes.
Who's going to go first? One final time forever.
Okay. Your favorite cover of the week that you probably don't even know is your favorite cover of the week. Namwolf number 2.
Oh my, you did it. That is my favorite cover. I have it open on my laptop right now.
You're not just saying that because it's the last time.
No. I verified it. I flipped my laptop around. Wow. I showed Lou.
It's true, he is.
Namwolf 2 was open in this tab.
Wow. This the Ouija spirits.
Never doubt the Ouija spirits. If we leave you with nothing, never doubt them. Namwolf number 2 is out this week. Fabian Rangel Jr. and Logan Ferber, I believe, did the cover with wonderful colors by Brennan Wagner.
I have 3 favorite covers of the week because I'm good at following the rules.
I have one of them. I have it one final time for podcast.
If you pay attention to my Twitter, you know.
I blocked you. Monstrous 12.
Oh, you didn't even get one of the 3.
What? That's baloney.
I mean, it's a great cover.
Sure it is. Sana Takeda.
I feel like one of the really great things about the Monstrous covers, there's 2 really great things. One is that they give you a really good sense of what you're going to find in the interior art. Mm-hmm. I hate it when...
It's not trickery.
I hate it when it's bait and switch.
You hate trickery.
I want to know what I'm in for. Mm-hmm. 2, I think that all of the covers, they're up to like issue 12 now. And even though they're all different, they have the same aesthetic and the same tone. So if you see it on the stand, you're like, that's Monstrous. Mm-hmm. Even if you can't like read the title from where you're standing. So that's 2 really strong, you know, attributes that the Monstrous covers have. But it's been my favorite cover before. And since they are really, you know, similar, I think that I went with some new choices this
week. Whoa, new choice.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess one more.
Okay.
For the road, one final time, Lady Castle.
Yeah.
Oh, look out. I did it.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Because it's such a pretty Art Nouveau-inspired cover.
Who is on that cover?
Missy Pena.
Holy smokes, what a cover.
Good job.
I got to read this book.
Yeah, I think that this is number 4 of 4, so you can just binge the whole thing.
I love miniseries.
Me too.
Love it. If you're a pub, listen, I know the pubs are listening right now. Do more miniseries. Please.
I mean, they're, you know, one of the big barriers of entry to comics for a lot of people, I think, is like you look at Action Comics number 638 and you're just like, no, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. But a miniseries is so easily digestible, and then it helps get you into the world of comics. But then also if you're like a veteran, you know, it's just, it's nice to not have to like keep track of the continuity for a change.
Love it.
Yeah. Also,
yes.
Southern Cross number 12. Wow. Beautiful. Look, Lilo Ridge, I don't know what kind of communing with the Ouija spirits he's done, but he is so talented.
I'm looking at that cover right now. Wow.
Pretty colors.
It's like looking into my soul.
It is.
It's dark.
Also, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't pick this because I literally made you go back out and buy it after you bought the wrong cover.
You did.
Dr. Aphra, number 7, featuring Han Solo in restraints.
He's held down.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows what's going to happen in that issue?
I mean, look, Han Solo gets into all kinds of trouble.
Hijinks,
trouble. Mm-hmm. How many times has he been...
bondaged?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you can call carbonite kind of bondage. Can't really do anything there.
No, you're just sort of a decoration.
I mean, literally your decoration. They made toys out of it that people hang on trees.
It's true.
I probably have one.
You can get like a thing for your door.
Doorstop?
Like a cover. Like you could put it on your door. It's Han and carbonite.
Do you have one of those?
No.
Get out. So what's our plan for this episode? One final episode. We thought we were going to talk about our fave books of all time, I think, right?
We should do that, yeah.
And maybe some that came out this week?
We should do that, too. We should do whatever we want. Whatever, what are they going to do? Cancel us?
What are you going to do? Huh? Well, what are you going to do? I'm not even looking at anybody. I'm just talking into a wall. What are you going to do? There's a lot that came out this week that's good.
It's true.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I'm...
in charge of this podcast.
I'm the oldest. let's see. Alien, Dead Orbit, James Stokoe.
Good stuff.
My gosh. You like horror movies?
I love horror movies.
Good. What do you think about Alien?
Love Alien. Because the aliens remind me of my cat, I've told you.
Oh my God, that's horrifying. That's more horrifying than an Alien movie.
My cat is perfect.
Alien Dead Orbit is written, drawn, and lettered by James Stokoe, who is a visionary.
Triple threat.
He is the triple threat. It follows what I'm saying is not a negative. It follows the same tried and true alien story. You know, another ship comes upon another ship that shouldn't be there, so they go to investigate, and S goes down.
I think you can swear. Alex DeCampi did.
Alex DeCampi, I'll tell you what, the editing button just broke.
Kieran Gillen did. I just gave up.
Which, by the way, great interview last week.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Great job.
You know,
you did it.
It was fun.
And A Dead Orbit takes place in that scenario. And like, this isn't even a knock on James Stokoe's writing ability. This book could have no words, and I'd still love every second of it.
That's the best kind of comic book.
Oh, my word. There's something really scary to, like, they stumble upon, in the first issue, they stumble upon the ship, and they try to wake up this, like, group of five people that are in a cryogenic chamber, and something goes wrong. So, like, all this gas, like, goes into the chamber, and it, like, melts their skin off.
Mm.
And they're like alive still though, but they're in so much pain. You can see like tendons and muscles.
Yeah,
they don't have lips anymore. Wow. No lips. And I just love every second of it. I wish James Stokoe could do whatever the heck he wanted for the rest of his life, and I'd pay probably $6 an issue for it.
Wow, that's high praise.
That is high praise. Yeah. So get Aliens Dead Orbit right now. What else you got?
In horror news, comics.
Love it.
Okay, so Southern Cross number 12, which was one of my favorite covers of the week. Also a book that I read that we need to talk about. Becky Cloonan and Andy, is it Bellinger or Bellanger?
I prefer Bellanger.
What are you, Jason Latour now?
Jason Latour just walked in and left if you're saying that word. Thanks for coming, Jason. For the final show, he stopped by for us.
Because isn't he Canadian?
Bellanger.
I feel like it's a higher likelihood of a French pronunciation.
Andy, I know you're listening. Andy, we're sorry.
Yes. Anyway, good. Your art is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could say your name as well as you draw things.
There should be, listen, I've had this idea for years. There should be a database of how to pronounce creators' names.
I literally butcher everyone's names, and I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so Southern Cross, I feel like, is like a Kubrick-level horror book. Mm. You know, a lot of it is, it reminds me a lot of the way that they create tension and horror in movies like The Shining.
Wow.
And it's a little bit complicated, and I think that it doesn't come out, or it hasn't come out really regularly, or it took a break for a while, so I feel like I need to go back and reread a little bit, because you know there's a lot to keep.
Oh my God, I love the yellow I'm seeing on those pages.
Yeah, so you know, so the basic premise is that, you know, it's like this really, it's a hard sci-fi book, and there's like this mining going on this planet, and they find these artifacts, and then all this like really kind of mind-bending stuff starts happening to these people, and at the same time there's like this worker revolt, and you know, so yeah, Leah Lowridge uses colors in just the most
a visionary.
Yeah, it's really unconventional, but it's so effective, and it's really edited too, so I just think that you know that you're looking at a book that was colored by a genius, you know. Mm-hmm. it's so gorgeous, and also, you know, they don't shy away from being really brutal, really gory, really graphic, but not in a way that's like scintillating. You know, it really adds to the horror and the story. It's such a beautifully put together book. And so, you know, favorite cover and beautiful colors.
Do they use a Ouija board at any point?
You know, they don't, but they do talk to dead people.
Maybe Ouija boards don't work in space. They got to use something else.
You know, that's actually a super interesting question.
What if they did like a paranormal investigation in space?
I mean, that's kind of today. How it started, because the main character, Alex, her sister has gone missing, and so she's on this ship, and there's like a murder mystery. It's kind of Murder on the Orient Expressy, and then she starts like seeing dead people, and people disappear, and it's really claustrophobic. And that sense of a disorientation really follows through even once they've left the ship and they're on the planet.
Have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
I've never made it through a single episode of Twin Peaks.
Wow.
I know.
Twin Peaks is all the rage right now.
I know.
Your timeline's got to be popping with Twin Peaks references.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. Not everything is for everybody. I accept that Twin Peaks is good, even if I do not personally enjoy it.
Wow.
Have you watched The Keepers?
I've heard of it.
Oh my God.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Is that right? Love Netflix.
Crime solving grandmas.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like Murder, She Wrote, but two women?
And it's real.
What?
It's a docuseries.
What? I don't know if I can handle this.
Have you read anything else this week?
I also paged through Gomorrah, which is out this week.
We were talking about Marco Cicchetto.
Guy's a genius.
Love him.
Love the Gomorrah series. It's one of the most perfect Marvel books that, if you saw the movie, read this. I don't know. I guess there's a lot of books like that, but this one's the best one. You can, if you like Gomorrah in the movie, you can read this and really enjoy it. Really accessible.
Does it use the same kind of character background as the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one's kind of like a prequel when she's still under the wing of Thanos, T, I call him.
Big T.
And she tries to avenge her race by killing the last of the royal line that was responsible.
But
she
gets, right?
more than she bargained for.
Ooh. Speaking of Marco Cecchetto, he did my other favorite cover of the week.
What?
Bondage Han.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised that's not like a poster you can buy on Marvel.com yet.
You know, I mean, I feel like, I don't know if they really want to go that way.
I mean, they put it on a cover.
Yeah.
That could be, on some people's walls in their bedroom.
It definitely.
Or in their dining room.
And he has like these like scorpion looking bugs crawling on him. Yeah.
Gosh, scorpions.
That part's not that sexy.
Remember in the X-Men animated series when Wolverine was hallucinating that he was covered in scorpions? He's like, covered in scorpions. Come covered in scorpions. It's my Wolverine voice.
That sounds more like your Dark Knight voice.
So that's what that feels like. I mean, that was the dumbest. Which movie was that? That was the third one. I mean, why would Batman ever say that when Catwoman disappears off a roof? Why would he talk to himself? Is this supposed to be a real life Batman? So that's what that feels like.
Oh my God, Batman.
He's so dumb in that movie. Dumb movie. Oh God. Nanwolf is out. I haven't had time to read it yet, but it's next to my to read list. Black Hammer came out last week and I just totally missed
favorite.
It because we didn't record last week, so my weeks are all out of whack.
Yeah,
that's probably my book of the year easily.
Yeah,
if you maybe you're here for the last show and you want to pick one pick I leave you with for this year, Black Hammer from Dark Horse. what do you got?
So I trade Weight Saga usually.
Mm-hmm. 25 cents today.
It is. And since I'm all caught up, because this is the first issue of the new arc, I was like, you know, it's the last episode. We're talking about some of our all-time favorites. Saga is for sure one of my all-time favorites. So let's talk about number 43.
Let's get into it.
All right. So spoiler
keep in mind, I'm like 30 issues back.
There are some sensitive topics that are discussed in this issue, like...
Okay. We've never shied away from sensitive
abortion,
topics.
Abortion.
Okay.
We miscarriage. Trans misogyny. Big issues in this, in the, and I think that they handle them very sensitively. And
how do they tackle trans misogyny? Because it's like in space and there's different species.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've read the arc where Hazel is and her grandmother are in that prison and they meet another person from Wreath, and she's a trans woman, and so she, when they end up like escaping, she's with them, and you know, Hazel's a little kid, mm-hmm. and she is, I guess, like for the saga world, like by species, you know, she's got mm-hmm. wings and horns, and so she doesn't really understand like what it means to be trans, and she asks some uncomfortable questions. You know, because she's like, well, you know, is this something that I need to think about for myself? And, you know, kids sometimes ask questions that they don't mean to be hurtful or offensive, but the way that they form the question, it's kind of shaped by the narratives that just like exist in the world. So even though their intention for asking the question is innocent or is not hurtful, the way that they can ask the question can sometimes be hurtful. And so I think that moment where Hazel's asking these questions, like it's done in a way that both acknowledges that like, hey, it's actually like really not okay to ask those kind of questions in that way. Mm-hmm. But then it also sort of is like, I understand that you're asking them in a way that isn't intentionally hurtful. But it, you know, because then as the reader, you can kind of be like, oh, I also should not maybe ask those questions if I am wondering about them. That's not the way to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the abortion storyline, it looks like it's going to be carried out a little bit further, that the trans misogyny moment was kind of more of a story beat as opposed to part of the larger arc. So I know that they will deal with the abortion issue, I think, in a way that is equally as sensitive. And I mean, I guess spoilers for the last arc are kind of implied by this discussion, so I'm not going to really go into any more detail, but you know, this book has never shied away from really hard topics, and I think they do a really nice job presenting them and acknowledging when a character is in the wrong, but without making it seem like that's the stance of the book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and I also love how, like, there's no exposition in this book ever.
Really?
You just accept all of these fantastical things, and the storytelling is so good, you just go with it.
Has there ever been another mainstream book that tackled abortion before? Like, recently? Off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Yeah.
It's not to say there aren't any.
It's not a topic that I think any media really does a good job dealing with, you know?
Yeah, they talked about it in Riverdale, but they never even... Remember the Riverdale subplot with abortion, but they never said the word?
Yeah.
They just mentioned making an appointment.
Yeah. It's always so, you know, obscured and
we might get banned from iTunes just for saying the word.
Come at me. What are you going to do? Cancel us?
What are you going to do? Cancel us?
Anyway, iTunes. Catch up with Saga. It's great. And today the new issue is 25 cents. And also Saga is one of my favorites.
25 cents, folks.
Look, if you are trying to get someone into comics, you think that, you know, and they're like, oh, I don't like the superhero stuff, I don't like comics, give them Saga.
First, slap them in the mouth. Second,
with Saga,
throw cold water in their face to wake them up.
Get that really big hardcover that's like the close-up of Hazel breastfeeding.
I love that when people first start reading that, that's they like the first page, they're like so gobsmacked
yeah
by it, and they're it sets the stage for the rest of the
and
book.
Remember, like, retailers wouldn't like display the book because it showed breastfeeding.
Some retailers
yes.
I also read, I caught up on Super Sons.
Oh.
With Damien and...
And the other one.
Jonathan.
What's his face?
What's his face,
the
boy?
The ugly one.
they get into hijinks. You know, I'm a huge fan of the Superman run by Tomasi and Gleason. And Tomasi writes this one. And the artist, Jorge Jimenez. People are sleeping on his art. He's going to be a big artist.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, he's big now because he draws one of my favorite titles.
What do you like about it?
It's very dynamic. It reminds me a little bit of a mixture between Sarah Pacelli plus Stuart Immonen.
Wow, nice.
And very, very fun, very action-packed art style. But it follows the two boys who, you know, obviously live in their father's shadows, and they try to, you know, do this side mission without getting their parents involved. And Lex Luthor ends up getting involved because he's like Superman of Metropolis now. He wears that suit. But very fun. It captures, you know, the two young boys very well who go at each other and are just trying to prove themselves. Very fun. Very enjoyable. Love it. Well, go get it now.
Before it's too late.
Before it's too late, because once this podcast is over, you can't buy books anymore. We're shutting it all down.
You know, okay, like, the thing is, though, people can still find us.
Absolutely. We're everywhere.
We're still going to be on Facebook Live. I know that Facebook isn't
your
everyone's
cup of tea.
Favorite.
Sure.
But, like, you can talk to, you know, you could still write us letters, and we could still answer them on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. So even if you were, like, maybe a little shy about commenting, or you don't want to, like, make a Facebook account if you don't have one, you could still write to us, and you could still watch the videos on Facebook Live. So it's just like the podcast, only you get to see the lipstick that I have to put on every time we do Facebook Live.
I mean, we're also on Twitter. You can reply us on Twitter. You have a long name that I can never remember.
Portrait of Madame X, but Madame is abbreviated like the French way.
Is Lou available? Can you just get at Lou?
I think you cannot.
I'm at Slim. So we're always around to give picks and recommendations should you require them, but we have to get into the letters.
Yes, we have a lot of letters.
We have a lot of letters to get to. I think we might save the song for the end.
Yeah, we should.
Like the very, like the closing song.
And people can picture us skipping hand in hand off into the sunset.
letters at comixology.com. Say it ain't so. Subject line from Rob. It's sad to hear that your podcast is ending. I found much enjoyment out of it. I'm grateful for you both, and thank you for reading my letters on your podcast. Is there a way you can maybe record the audio only on your Facebook Live videos and keep that as a podcast? Well, one last question for the podcast then. Is there any trade paperbacks or graphic novels that you collect continuously or have the whole set of? For me, I collected and read all the Why the Last Man and also collect The Walking Dead. I'm a few books behind, though. There are a lot I have a few books of, but those are the two that I buy religiously. Also, Slim, I know this is just so you can start your own wrestling podcast show now. Your wrestling pal, Rob. Man, can you imagine a wrestling podcast?
I actually think there's probably one or two out there.
But maybe they're all crap and I have to start one.
Maybe you could, you know...
I'll crunch some numbers.
Yeah.
Some podcast numbers.
You know, we should maybe start one where, like, I'm the one who doesn't know anything about wrestling and never seen it before, and you're the expert, and then... Because, like, that's the formula of,
that's
like, Gilmore Guys and all those. Yeah, and I could be like, What the F is happening right now?
What am I watching right now?
Like, all I know about wrestling is...
You went really dark there. A little too dark. Might edit that out. So thanks for the letter, Rob. I collect Low and Black Science and Deadly Class. So there might be a thread there that you can pinpoint. But those are the ones that I religiously collect. And I think Black Hammer, I might have to grab a hardcover of when that's out.
What do I collect, Slim?
Wicdiv.
All of them.
Monstrous.
Yeah. Bitch Planet.
I think that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nailed it. I don't know about recording the audio of the Facebook Live videos, Rob. To be frank, that sounds like a lot of work for me. Just being honest with you, Rob.
Maybe you could add, like, a tip jar. Like, you could do, like, a Patreon.
Maybe, Rob, download the Facebook app. When you're at work, just hit play, put it in the corner.
Just close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Put your headphones in. You can plug your headphones
in. Yeah.
Mario, one for the road. Hi, a long time ago, you guys recommended a comic giving career advice to new grads. It was kind of a do-it-yourself guide, and graphically, the art was in the style of the hip-hop Family Tree. I think there was a part one and a two. Can you help me before you exit stage left? Cheers, Mario. I actually have no idea what Mario's talking about.
I don't either.
I'm sorry, Mario.
I'm really sad that he didn't go with the Shakespeare reference there with that stage direction.
Mario, I'm going to research that. I'm on Twitter. Hit me up. We'll figure this out. Ryan Garcia.
Friend of the show.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
We're gonna play it at the end of the show. We're going to close out the show with the song. Hey, mixologists, this is the 25th letter I've sent you, which puts me on about 384 behind Mikey P. But I just wanted to say thank you for the countless amount of entertainment you've given us. From convention interviews to back issues, even talking about Fallen, still available on Comixology Submit. Just saying, it's been an amazing run. As a way of giving back, Mikey P and I collaborated on a parting gift for you. We did the lyrics, and Darren Murphy at DarrenMusic.com provided the vocals. Hopefully we can give you 3 minutes of enjoyable audio in exchange for all the hours you've given us. Really, thank you. See you around and keep mixing those comics. That comes from Ryan. The song is...
amazing.
Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when I listened to it 5 times in a row.
I know. We should have commissioned them to do our intro music instead of having me sing I Love Swamp Thing in my Slim voice.
Listen, it'll be worth the wait. We're going to close out the show with this piece of magical audio. It's amazing.
It is.
I'm starting to get emotional now. I'm just thinking about it. Let me zoom in here on Mikey P's final letter.
You can still write to Facebook Live.
You can. To be concluded, Scalped was a series. This is from Mikey P. Scalped was a series which, to me, ended the way a comic should. It wasn't anything revolutionary in its purpose, really, but it delivered in spades in its execution of making me care about its characters as they rode off into the sunset. So it's no surprise, it's been on my mind these last few weeks. Like all great comics runs, the stuff of legends come from the fact that they must end. At rare instances in our lives, I can't even get through it.
Do you want me to read it?
Maybe you should read it.
Okay. At rare instances in our lives, we might come across something which doesn't need the test of time for us to recognize its brilliance. You brought us together on this podcast each week, and I anticipated it more than whatever books got released. It's not a mystery that there are others out there using Comixology, but it's something else to congregate in your weekly arena as a community. Lou nailed it when she once talked about that social scene of going to your local comic shop to discuss the latest and how this is just the next iteration on a grander scale. You received an amazing letter from Ryan, who let me in on what he was working on. Two guys from different parts of the country discussing this show. Pretty cool if you stop and consider the world you have built, much like some of the books discussed in the past. And even though he's reading this right now and he gets funny when he gets praised, we're only here today and emotional on final episode 500-something because of Slim. He may not have started this show, but he took it to another level, beginning that episode 171 of his own numbering. We'll never know all the work behind the scenes, but whatever is in store, I for one am following. I remember when Comixology came on the scene and the reluctance I ironically had to embracing it. Maybe it felt like an ending to something I loved, but it ended up being an evolutionary step that further enhanced my enjoyment. So I'll take that lesson with me as you take a step forward with this show. Thanks for the ride. This is Mikey P signing off.
What a letter.
I know.
What a nice guy. Hey, man, Ryan Bove.
I really hope that one day we run into them at a convention or something, shake their hands.
And we can just listen to the song.
And we'll all sing it.
Like it's closing time at the bar.
Yeah.
We'll just sing the song. What a show.
What has been your favorite moment?
Man. I've had a lot of great moments.
Top three favorite moments.
Meeting people at conventions is really fun. People that listen to the show and appreciate it. what about you?
I agree. I think that, you know, there was a panel that we did. I think it was a New York Comic Con panel. It was one of those recommendation panels. So it's, you know, it's kind of like actually what we do on Facebook Live, but in person with people. And the energy was just so great. Mm-hmm. We had so many people asking questions and telling us about how they listen to the podcast, how much Comixology has helped them get into comics. You know, kind of what Mikey P was referencing, it was that community.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what's been my favorite part about doing this.
I got to interview Rick Remender about Fear Agent. That was a big highlight
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
I mean, jokes aside, it's an unreal experience that I'm was fortunate enough to do, which was talk to the creator of the book that means the most to you for like 40 minutes.
The first panel that I ever did at a convention was at San Diego Comic-Con. And we walk into the room and all of our like name tags are set up and my name tag is next to my favorite author's name tag. And I was just like, what is even going on right now?
Yeah. I count myself as very fortunate to be able to talk to creators that allowed this podcast to happen. Really, like without them, we wouldn't be here talking about comic books, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the interviews we've done with creators have been real highlights. I remember talking to Alex Ross when I first started doing the podcast, and that was really wild. He's like a really hardcore comic book fan. Like he goes to the comic shop every week and we'll talk to other fans about stuff that's going on with like Captain America or whatever. I've interviewed like Mark Waid like 5 times, which is bonkers, to the point where like he'll recognize me at cons. And that's just like a weird thing. Like you mentioned, like that's weird to me. And like my friends will make fun of me for it. I always come back to this interview, but the interview we did, Kara and I, it was a combined interview with Julian Hanshaw and Jennifer Hayden. We talked about The Story of My Tits and Tim Ginger. That was probably one of my favorite interviews ever. It was a really both books were really heartfelt from very different people, and we combined it into one interview, and I was really worried that it was going to suck. But it turned out really amazing. And having those moments with creators and having, I remember they came to the Comixology office for that interview, and I usually try to have some kind of icebreaker with creators whenever we interview them or in person. And I remember having the book in front of us, they brought it. And I remember saying when they first got there, like, oh, I can't wait to read it, to like, mess with them. And they didn't react, because it's like the norm for a lot of interviews they do. And I was like, I'm kidding. I obviously read it. And at the end of the interview, they were really shocked by how present we were and intrigued by the content and asking probing questions, to the point where like they made that comment during the interview. Like, they were kind of stunned. And that kind of thing made me very proud of us doing interviews when Kara was doing interviews.
We had a similar sort of experience when we talked to Natasha Bustos at New York, and she was like, not sure she even wanted to do the interview. You know, English isn't her first language, and she, you know, just would rather have been, I think, talking with fans at our table. But we had such a nice time, and she even said that, you know,
sure,
it was she was glad she did the interview. I think that, you know, the dedication that you and Kara and me and you have put into being really present, like you said, you know, we care about the comics that we talk about, we care about the creators, we care about the people listening and talking about things that would be worthwhile for them to listen to.
Yeah,
we put a lot of work into making that happen.
And you know, one of the main reasons we do that is because we know other sites or podcasts don't do that, and it can be a drag for creators to do interviews because they get the same questions and they assume that the other person didn't read it. But hopefully people took notice, and maybe if they were going to do an interview series or a podcast, maybe they tried to follow suit. But obviously I want to thank a few people, you and Kara specifically, on the podcast. I've learned so much from both of you. I've grown as a person, as a comic reader over the years on this show. If I impart anything on people listening to the show, it's to listen and learn from other people's experiences, because you can learn so much. A lot of people in comics don't do that. They're so quick to throw their opinion into the mix, assuming that they're right. And I just hope people listening, you know, the people in comics are other people just like you. They have so much that they can teach you. You have so much that you can teach other people, and you can learn from their experiences and become a better person for it. So thank you, Lou.
I feel like I could say the same about you. You know, I'm kind of a hothead, and sometimes I say what I'm thinking without tempering my words for its audience so that it can be received in a productive way. That's something that I think I've learned from you.
I think everyone's learned from you on the show, to be honest. But you're not a hothead at all, Lou. I've never seen you angry.
I've learned so much from you about tact and diplomacy.
But obviously, thanks for everyone for listening. Thanks to Peter Jaffe for starting this podcast many years ago. Thanks to Taylor. Taylor was a co-host at some point on the show with Jake. Me and Jake, obviously Jake Weatherman, thank you so much for putting the time into the show with me. Tony Ice, who was one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. Those episodes were a hoot. And then Kara, obviously. Kara was a huge part of this show, building the community for this podcast. It wouldn't be anywhere without her. And thanks for listening. Any other moments you want to talk about?
I think we should just play the song.
We'll play the song again. Mikey P., Ryan, and on vocals, Darren Murphy at darrenmusic.com. So thanks, everybody.
Take it away, Slim.
You say our fix of comics via podcast is going away. We cry. Just like Slim and Logan, there are buckets of tears in our eyes. why these feels. You say we will get the same content on Facebook Live, but come on, get real. We can't write letters to Facebook, so what will we do? You'll be back. These aren't lies. In the world of comics, nothing dies. You'll be back. Mark my words. Before Lou dreams of eating more birds. Trades go up, issues drop, and with Unlimited we never stop. But when push came to shove, the Comixologist connected us to the series that we loved. Da 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 da. You say you're not going away, we shouldn't pout. But in the words of Slim, we say get out. No more news, I suppose. You used to give free comic codes. And then there was the mother load. Every Marvel number one we download. And download. And download. And download. And download. And download. You'll be back like before. Just like Mjolnir will return to Thor. We need pics. There you'll shine. And point us to new wicked and divine. How can you just go scram? You're going walkabout with Kazam. Just don't think you'll escape. There is so much more we want to say, but we're running out of tape. Da 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 da